إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. Indeed, all praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, seek His aid, and ask His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evil which is in ourselves, and we seek refuge in Allah from the consequences of our evil actions. من يهده الله من يهده الله فلا مضل له. Whoever Allah guides, there is none who can misguide him. ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. And whoever Allah chooses to be misguided, there is none who can guide him. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. I bear witness, there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah. He is alone and He has no partners. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And I also bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he is the worshipper of Allah and he is His final messenger. أَمَّا بَعْدْ فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الْحَدِيثِ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ. Thereafter, the best of speech is the book of Allah. وَخَيْرَ الْهُدَى هُدَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. The best of guidance is the guidance of the Prophet صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. وَإِنَّ شَرُّ الْأُمُورِ مُحْدَثَاتُهَا. And the most evil of affairs are those matters, those practices which people innovate and introduce into Al-Islam. فَإِنَّ كُلَّ مُحْدَثَةٍ بِدْعَةٍ. For indeed, every newly innovated matter is a bid'ah. وَكُلَّ بِدْعَةٍ ضَلَالَةٍ. And every bid'ah, every religious innovation is misguidance. وَكُلُّ ضَلَالَةٍ فِي النَّارِ. And every misguidance only leads to the fire. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. O people of Iman, have taqwa of Allah and only say a correct word. يُصْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. He will rectify for you your affairs and forgive for you your sins. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. And whoever shows obedience to Allah and shows obedience to the messenger, to his messenger, فَقَدَ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Then he has achieved a great success. أيها المسلمون, our Lord Allah Jalla fil Ula, He sent to us His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and He sent Him to us in order for us to follow Him in every aspect of our religion. Allah sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam for Him to teach us how we should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that how we should worship Allah in a manner in which Allah is pleased with. So the important thing isn't that we merely worship Allah. We fast and we pray and we do things, acts of worship, however we want. Rather, the important thing is that we worship Allah in a way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is pleased. And this point here, many people, they don't pay attention to it. That when we worship Allah, our ibadat, our acts of worship, shouldn't be according to how we want to worship, or what our culture says, or what is the prevalent action of the majority of the Muslims. Rather, we have to only worship Allah in a way and with those actions which Allah has legislated through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and which Allah has permitted for us to do. Any act of worship that we do, it has to be according to the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in what we do and how we do it, in which days we fast and how we fast those days, in which prayers we pray, on what days and nights do we pray, and how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to pray them. And also looking at the way of the companions, and whether they used to also do these actions. And some people, some masajid, some imams, may Allah guide us and guide them. First, they will do a particular action in their masjid. And then afterwards, after having done it, then they start questioning. Is this thing allowed in the Sharia? Is it not allowed? Was it the sunnah or was it not the sunnah? And really a person, before he does any act of worship, before he does it, he should stop and think and ask himself, that is this action in accordance to the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Is there an evidence for doing this action? Not that you do the action and you permit it in your masajid without thinking about the Quran, the sunnah, the evidences. And then afterwards you start discussing and debating, should we have done that action? And Allah said in the Quran, showing the importance of following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and not doing any act of worship which he did not do, he said, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ati'u Allaha wa rasulahu." O people of iman, show obedience to Allah and his messenger. "Wa la tawallaw anhu wa antum tasma'un." And do not turn away from it. Meaning, do not turn away from the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam whilst you hear and you know. And Allah said, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ati'u Allaha wa ati'u Rasul." O people of iman, obey Allah and obey the messenger. "Wa la tubtilu a'malakum." And do not corrupt or invalidate your actions. And this noble ayah shows that the only act of worship which is correct and accepted and rewarded by Allah is that action which has in it أَطِيعُ اللَّهُ وَأَطِيعُ الرَّسُولُ, following Allah, His legislation, His Sharia, and following the way of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if a person does an act of worship in which there is no إِطَاعَةُ الرَّسُولُ, in which he does not follow the Messenger, فَلَا تُبْطِلُوا أَعْمَالَكُمْ, then these actions are invalid. They are batil, they are not accepted. And Allah said in the Quran, "Tilka hududullah," that these are the limits which have been set by Allah. وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولَهُ, and whoever shows obedience to Allah and His Messenger, يُدْخِلْهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ, then Allah will enter him into the gardens of paradise beneath which rivers flow. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا, and he will remain in it forever. ذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ, and this is the great success. This ayah shows that there is no action which takes you to Jannah except it has to be in obedience to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What and how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did. And there is no foes, there is no success except in following the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In fact, a person will not enter into Jannah except through the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So whoever thinks that by doing bid'ah, by doing acts of innovations, which the Prophet and the companions did not do, he will enter into Jannah, then this ayah, it negates this. And Allah said, "وَمَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ," whatever the messenger has come with, then take it. "وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ," and whatever he has forbidden you from doing, then stay away from it. This noble ayah shows that anything which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with, any act of worship, this is what we have to do. And anything which he forbade us from, or he did not do, then we don't do it. Even if the majority of the Muslims are doing it, even if our culture tells us to do it, even if our madhab, or our imam, or our masjid is doing it, but it isn't permitted for us to do. Allah said in the Quran, "مَنْ يُطِعِ الرَّسُولِ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ," whoever shows obedience to the messenger, he has showed obedience to Allah. This noble ayah shows that that the only way in which there is obedience to Allah is in following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So all of these evidences from the Quran and many other evidences from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they emphasize the importance of restricting our actions to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that we only follow the messenger and his companions in the acts of worship which we do. And it isn't allowed for us to do any act of worship which is linked to al-Islam, for which we hope the reward of Allah, unless the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did this. And unless there is an authentic, clear evidence that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to do. And for this reason, before we do any act of ibadah which has a relation to our religion, then we have to first have an evidence which permits it. And pay attention, brothers and sisters, that I said any act of worship. Meaning any act of ibadah, there has to be an evidence from the Quran and the Sunnah which allows us to do this. As for those actions which are not linked to our religion, they are not acts of worship, there is no reward from Allah for doing those actions, meaning actions of the dunya, worldly actions, then the base ruling is it is permitted for us to do. And there has to be an ayah or a hadith which forbids us from doing that action. Because some people, if you say to them, this action, this act of worship, we should not do it, they will say, tell me or give me an ayah from the Quran which tells me not to do this act of worship. And this is incorrect. Because as I mentioned, when it comes to the acts of the religion, the ibadat, we have to have an ayah which tells us to do this. And when it comes to the actions of the dunya, which has no relation to the religion, then we have to have an evidence which tells us not to do it. So it isn't allowed for us to innovate into the religion, to introduce new acts of worship, and then we say, but where does it say in the Quran we're not allowed to do this? And this is the biggest evidence that the people of innovation have. If we say to them, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not celebrate his own birthday, Maulid al-Nabawi, they will say, but where does it say in the Quran that you're not allowed to do it? So they haven't understood the usul or the principles or the foundations of this religion. We go back to the acts of worship. That any act of worship, any ibadah, has to be in accordance to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Rather, the sunnah of the Prophet is a condition for the acceptance of any act of worship. Meaning, when a person prays the prayer, is it allowed for a person, or is the salah, is the prayer of a person accepted if he doesn't make wudu? No. Because at-tahara, purification and wudu is a condition for the validity of the prayer. If there is no tahara, if there is no wudu, if there is no purification, there is no prayer. If a person prayed without wudu and without tahara, he must repeat his prayer. And like this, any other act of worship when it comes to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That following the sunnah is a shart, it is a condition for the acceptance of any act of worship. If a person does an act of worship, ibadah, and he does it with sincerity, with a good intention, he wants the reward of Allah, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not do this act of worship, or he does it in a way which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam did not perform, then his act of worship is not accepted. Just like the salah and wudu and at-tahara. And nobody should think that when we talk about ibadah, we are only talking about as-salah was-sawm. That we say, when it comes to the prayer, we follow the sunnah of the Prophet. When it comes to fasting, then yes, we must follow the sunnah of the Prophet. Rather, the meaning of the word ibadah is much greater than this. Any act of worship, anything related to the religion, anything which has a reward from Allah attached to it comes under ibadah. So a dhikr, and how to make dhikr, this is from the ibadat. This is from the acts of worship. So we make dhikr how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to remember Allah. It's not correct for a person to sit in a congregation, all of them together, making these adhkar, following a person. And also when it comes to a da'wah is also an act of worship. We have to give a da'wah according to how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gave a da'wah. The Prophet started his da'wah with at-tawheed, with al-aqidah, with iman. We start our da'wah with at-tawheed, wal-aqidah, wal-iman. After this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to teach as-salah, was-sawm, wa-tahara, was-zakah. We teach these things. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam attached importance to manners and morals and justice between the people, truthfulness, softening the hearts of the people. We also attach importance to these things. But if a person comes along now and he says, the starting point of my da'wah is politics, we need to enter into politics and we need to change everybody. Oh, my call to da'wah is that this corrupt Muslim leader, he must be removed. Then this ibadah, this da'wah, which is ibadah, it is not accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because that person did not follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in the manhaj or the methodology of giving a da'wah. Also, the hijab, the appearance of a Muslim, in that which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ordered with. This is all from al-ibadah. So the Muslim women, they worship Allah through their jilbab and their hijab, how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam legislated. How the ummahat al-mu'mineen was sahabiyat, how they used to dress. And also in the appearance of the Muslim men, according to how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam ordered with, that which relates to acts of worship. So wearing a thawb, we don't say this is an act of worship. As long as your clothing is Islamic, whether it is thawbs, whether it is trousers or shirts, as long as it is Islamic, it is permitted. And also the janaiz, the funerals, at-ta'ziyah, how and where we offer our condolences. This is also an act of worship. So it isn't permitted for us to start doing funerals according to our culture, or that which occurs, and we've said this previously and we repeat, hiring big halls, gathering in the masajid for ta'ziyah, giving out food, saying al-fatiha, making dua every time a person enters the gathering, making dua, raising your hand every time a person leaves the gathering. This is also an act of worship. And we have to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this. Was this ta'ziyah how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and his companions do? It wasn't. So just because it is our culture, we do not accept this. All of these are acts of worship. And Allah said in the Quran, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Indeed, for you is in the Messenger of Allah a good role model, a good example. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهِ. For the one who hopes in Allah. وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ. And the one who hopes in the final day. وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. And the one who makes the dhikr of Allah much. In the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is your role model. Not just in the salah and the saum, and the ameen and the raf' al-yadain. In every type of ibadah, we must follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha, she said, "Man amila amalan laysa alayhi amruna fahuwa rad." Whoever does an act of worship, if it is not in agreement to our affair, the affair of the Prophet, either sunnah, then it is rejected. It is not accepted. And Allah said in the Quran, in an ayah which is from the principles of this religion, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Say, if you truly love Allah, then follow me. I follow the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Follow his sunnah. Then Allah will love you. This ayah was revealed regarding a group of people. They used to claim that they are the lovers of Allah. They used to claim that they are the lovers of the Prophet. So Allah tested them. That the test of your love of Allah and his messenger is in you following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Not doing acts of innovation and then asking afterwards whether there's proof or there isn't proof. And Ibn Kathir rahimullah, he said regarding this ayah in his tafsir, he said, هذه الآية الكريمة حاكمة, that this noble ayah, it is like a judge. على كل من ادعى حب الله, upon every single person who claims the love of Allah. وهو ليس على طريقة محمدية, he claims the love of Allah, but he isn't upon a tariqa al-muhammadiyya, i.e. the path of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أَنَّهُ كَذَّابٌ فِي مَدْدَعَى, that he is a liar in that which he has claimed. The person who claims to love Allah, the person who claims to love the Messenger, but he doesn't follow a tariqa al-muhammadiyya, i.e. the way of the Prophet. I don't mean the deviant groups and sects who call themselves a tariqa al-muhammadiyya. I mean the true guidance and sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he does not follow that, whilst claiming to love Allah and his messenger, إِنَّهُ كَذَّابٌ فِي مَدْدَعَى, then he is a liar in that which he is claiming. Ibn Kathir said, حَتَّى يَرْجِعْ إِلَيْهَا, until he returns back to الطَّرِيقَ الْمُحَمَّدِيَّةِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, until he returns back to the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And nowadays, people have innovated prayers, fasts, festivals, a'yad, celebrations, days of Eid, birthdays, acts in the funerals. And they think that these acts of worship, although they are not from the sunnah and they are a bid'ah, they are innovations, but they are bid'atun hasana. They are good forms of innovation. And Al-Imam Malik rahimullah, in a beautiful statement, he clarified a principle. He said, مَنِ ابْتَدَعَ فِي الْإِسْلَامِ بِدْعَةً, whoever innovates in Islam, any act of innovation, any act of worship which a person innovates, يَرَاهَا حَسَنَةً, and he considers this innovation as being hasana, as being bid'a hasana, as being a good innovation, فَقَدْ زَعَمَ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا خَانَ الرِّسَالَةً, then he has claimed that Muhammad has been treacherous to the message. Why? فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ قَالَ الْيَوْمَ أَكْمَلْتُ لَكُمْ دِينَكُمْ, because Allah has already told us, on this day I have perfected for you your religion. So how can Allah say, I have perfected for you your religion? And then you think that there are good innovations, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not teach us about these innovations. Are you claiming he was treacherous in his da'wah and his responsibility in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And then Al-Imam Malik said, فَمَا لَمْ يَكُنْ يَوْمَئِذٍ دِينَ فَلَنْ يَكُونَ دِينَ, that whatever was not considered as part of the religion on that day, and in the days of the companions, فَلَنْ يَكُونَ دِينَ, then it will never be from the religion ever. So this is what we have to pay attention to, that this act of worship, when it is done, what is done, how it is done, was it considered an act of worship? يَوْمَئِذٍ, in the day of the companions. And it doesn't matter, up until يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ, what people innovate, and what people consider to be good or consider to be bad, or what the majority of the Muslims are doing, or the majority of the masajid are doing. مَا لَمْ يَكُنْ يَوْمَئِذٍ دِينٍ, whatever is not considered deen on the day of the Sahaba, فَلَنْ يَكُونَ دِينًا, then it will never ever be considered as being a part of the religion. And everything which I've mentioned regarding following the sunnah, staying away from innovations, innovations not being accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all of this is important in the month which we are in the Islamic month which we are in, and in the day which we are coming to. Because we are in the month of Sha'ban. And no doubt this is a blessed month. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast a lot in this month, especially the first half of the month. However, there is a day which is coming in which people have innovated and introduced new things. And this day is called Nisf Sha'ban, the mid of Sha'ban, or in our language, Shab Rat, i.e. the night of the mid of Sha'ban, 15th of Sha'ban. And many people, many masajid, may Allah guide us and guide them, out of their ignorance, but intending good, wanting to worship Allah, out of love of Allah and His Messenger, they do specific fasts on that day. And they do different types of prayer on that day. And they gather in the night and they have celebrations on that night. And all of this has not been established from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So regarding Sha'ban and Nisfu Sha'ban, the 15th of Sha'ban, firstly, as I mentioned, the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which has been narrated by Ummul Mu'mineen Aisha radiallahu anha wa Usamah ibn Zayd radiallahu anhuma in Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to fast Sha'ban more than any other month apart from Ramadan. And he said, هَذَا شَهْرٌ بَيْنَ رَجَبْ وَرَمَضَانَ, that this is a month between Rajab and Ramadan. يَغْفِلُ عَنْهُ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ, most of the people are negligent regarding this month, the month of Sha'ban. And therefore he used to start fasting at the starting of the month. Second point, that towards the end of Sha'ban he used to stop fasting, especially after mid of Sha'ban. On the 15th of Sha'ban, he would then reduce his fasting. And when Ramadan was coming, then he would stop fasting. So Sha'ban isn't joined with Ramadan in terms of fasting every single day. Secondly, every narration, every hadith which has come mentioning the virtue of Nisfu Sha'ban, it is either weak or it is fabricated. Apart from one narration, there is one narration in Sunan Ibn Majah upon the authority of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu an, it is claimed that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that on the 15th of Sha'ban, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He looks towards the creation, and the general meaning is He forgives the creation except for a person of shirk or a person of nifaq. This narration, it is differed over. Some, rather the majority of the ulama said it is weak. And it is like the rest of the narrations, it is not authentic at all. And a smaller group of scholars, they said that although this narration is weak, but because there are a number of similar narrations, then the weakness of the narration is not as severe. And therefore, the virtue, it is established. However, they were the large minority. And the correct opinion is that it is not accepted. The third point is, even if we were to accept, and let's say we believe that yes, this hadith, it is weak, but it isn't very severely weak, and therefore the 15th of Sha'ban does have a virtue. Just because a virtue is established for a particular day, it doesn't mean that we now bring about acts of worship from our own selves. Rather, there has to be another evidence in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions did acts of worship on that day. So not every hadith showing the virtue of a particular day means that now we have to start extra prayers, extra fasting, and specifying that day for fasting. If a person is fasting the whole of Sha'ban anyway, and he fasts the 15th of Sha'ban, no problem. If a person is praying Qiyam al-Layl anyway, and he prays Qiyam al-Layl on the 15th of Sha'ban, no problem. But to specify the 15th of Sha'ban that day for fasting specially, or praying specially, or holding conferences, or mahfal, or dhikr, then this is not from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also after this, people have innovated different types of actions. They fast in the day, they specify the day, and this is not allowed. In fact, Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, he mentioned that specifying the 15th of any month, Islamic month, this is makruh. This is something which is disliked. Rather, the sunnah is that the Prophet used to fast the 13th, 14th and the 15th of every Islamic month. But to leave the 13th, 14th, 15th and to specify only the 15th, then this is makruh. Secondly, there is a prayer which people do, and they started it in the time of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, called As-Salah al-Alfiyyah, the 1,000 prayers. And this is that people, they gather, they pray 100 short raka'at. And in every raka'at they recite Surah Al-Ikhlas 10 times. And therefore it becomes 1,000 times. They recite Surah Al-Ikhlas 1,000 times. And this is something which is against, again, even the logic or the intelligence. Also there is another act of prayer that An-Nawawi mentioned that people innovated. It is called Salat Ar-Raga'ib. Perhaps this is a present today. And Salat al-Raghaib is that on the 15th of Sha'ban, people gather in the masajid and they pray 6 raka'at. And in these 6 raka'at, they recite Surat al-Yasin, Surat Yasin, and then they make dua after this. And this is also something in which there is no evidence from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And consider how people leave the sunnah. So they don't fast Sha'ban. They don't fast 13, 14, 15. They neglect all of this, but the things which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not do, they do these actions. So this is something which we must pay attention to. Bismillah, walhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulullah, wa ba'd, ayyuhal ahibba. As I mentioned, it's very important that in any act of worship which we do, we have to fulfill the condition of following the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whether it is in our houses, in our masajid, in our communities, as long as it is an action related to the religion, then we have to always ask, is there an evidence for doing this act of worship? It doesn't matter how little or how minor we consider that act of worship to be. And amongst the Salaf are those who said, Al-bid'atu ahabbu ila Iblis min al-ma'asiyah. That acts of innovations are more beloved to Iblis than even personal sins. Why? Because personal sins, a person knows he is doing wrong. And therefore he seeks forgiveness from Allah. A person looks at something which he shouldn't look at. He knows that I'm doing wrong. And therefore he seeks forgiveness. But a person who does an act of worship, he thinks he's doing something good. And therefore, how is he going to seek forgiveness? And for this reason, the Salaf used to say, La tawbata lil mubtadi', that there is no repentance for an innovator. Why? Because the innovator, the action which he has innovated, he thinks this is something good. He thinks it is an act of worship. So why would he seek repentance from Allah? Why would he seek forgiveness from Allah Azza wa Jal? So this is something that we have to pay attention to. We have to warn against the innovations. We have to warn against the people of innovation. But with wisdom and with knowledge and with truth, and not with foolishness and harshness and hasty like some of the youth are upon. Aqim as-salah.